One of the ways we've been preparing for and celebrating Jesus' birth is through the lighting of the Advent candle. It's a reminder of the promise that a light would come into the world. It's interesting how even in Isaiah and then later John, Jesus refers to himself as a light. This morning, I asked Chris and Tracy Anderson if they would come, and I don't know what's going to happen because Chris is talking about, I don't know if he's going to rap it or he tried singing it, and I said no. But they're going to lead us in the lighting of the Advent candle. Go ahead, Tracy. No, close.
Far away from him.
Oh, okay.
Today we relight the first three candles of the Advent wreath, the candles of hope, peace, and joy. Now we light the fourth candle of Advent. This is the candle of love. Jesus demonstrated self-giving love in his ministry as the Good Shepherd. Advent is a time for kindness, thinking of others, and sharing with others. It is a time to love as God loved us by giving us his most precious gift. As God is love, let us be love also. In the book of Deuteronomy, we find these words: For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the strangers, providing them food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. That's Deuteronomy 10, 17 through 19a.
From the Gospel of John 13, 34 to 35, we hear, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Let us pray. Teach us to love, O Lord. May we always remember to put you first as we follow Christ's footsteps, that we may know your love and show it in our lives. As we prepare our celebration of Jesus' birth, also fill our hearts with love for the world, that all may know your love and the one whom you have sent, your Son, our Savior. Amen.
Thank you. You can keep that mic with you as long as you don't interrupt my message, Chris. I want to welcome you this morning to Echo Mountain Church. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. You could say it back if you want. We're in church. We can say Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, all we want, right? We're stepping out just for this week. We're stepping out of our series on James, and for a very important reason, this time of the year. You know, all this week, the world has been focused on this event, on Christmas. And they can call it Happy Holidays or whatever they want, but it's Christmas that we celebrate. An event that happened over 2,000 years ago in the Middle East in a little town with no fanfare. But today, 2,000 years later, it can still stop traffic on I-17 and 101. How is that? What's so special about Christmas? Why is it that it's the most celebrated holiday on the planet? Why is it that this week billions of people shut down work? They're going to go to services, they're going to go to parties, and they're going to gather in their homes to celebrate Christmas. What makes Christmas so special? The fact is, the birth of Jesus Christ is the most significant event in the history of mankind. It split history into AD and BC, and every time you write a check, most of you probably just use your debit cards like me, but if you write a check, every time you write a check, you're using Jesus Christ as a focus because you're writing a date, 2015, not for long. And in this service, we're going to look at the purpose of Christmas, why we celebrate it. At the very first Christmas, at the birth of Jesus, an angel announced a couple things. In those statements of the angel, we find two of the purposes of Christmas that I'd like to look at today. We find two of the reasons for the season. Christmas is a time for celebration. Christmas is a time for salvation. And we're going to look at how these two words, celebration and salvation, can change your life and my life forever. When Jesus Christ was born, there were a group of shepherds out in their field tending their flocks, and an angel came and said to them in a couple basic announcements. From these announcements, we discover two of the purposes, I believe, in Christmas. And that's what I'd like to look at this morning. Not only the purposes, but how we're to live them out. In Luke 2, the Bible says this: "And there were shepherds out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified." I would be too. If I'm out in the middle of the night, desert, and the stars are out, and all of a sudden an angel shows up, I think I'd be a little scared too. Goes on to say, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news. I bring you good news of great joy. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people.'" The first purpose of Christmas is celebration. It's a party. "I bring you good news of great joy." Actually, it's a birthday party. At Christmas, we have more parties than any other time of the year. Yet, it's ironic that often the guest of honor is totally left out of the party. Christmas is a birthday party for Jesus. It's why we say Merry Christmas. You know, it doesn't mean to shock you. I don't mean to shock you, but God really likes parties. He's into parties. He likes it. In fact, the Bible says that the angels hold a party every time one person trusts Christ as their Savior, turns away from their self-centeredness and their own life and turns to Him. A lot of people don't feel like celebrating around Christmas. They're like, "I'm not celebrating anything. I just want to get through it." Some of you may feel that way about this service. You just want to get through it. Well, the bottom line is Christmas is a party. We're supposed to celebrate, but sometimes we're so busy preparing and getting ready and buying presents and planning, we don't have time to celebrate, and we lose the joy of what the moment is all about. Have you ever been out shopping around this time of year? And the people, do they look like they're celebrating? They look pressured, stressed, even a little cranky if you were to get the last one of something that they wanted. You know, and so you just, some of the people look like they got the flu. But the thing is a lot of times this time of the year we can lose the joy of what Christmas is all about. What is the purpose of Christmas? First, it's celebration. Why do we celebrate? Why is it to be a party? The angel said, "I bring you good news of great joy," and it's for all men. It's for everybody. What's the good news? The good news of Christmas is three things, and that's what we celebrate. When God sent Jesus Christ to earth, He was saying three things. One, God loves us. Two, God is with us, Emmanuel. Three, God is for us. Do you think that's worth celebrating? God loves us, God is with us, and God is for us. First, God loves us. John 3:16 says this: "God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal or everlasting life." That's the good news. God so loved the world. That's why He sent His Son Jesus. He was sent on a message of love. Christmas is saying to you, God says, "I love you." The Bible says God is love. It doesn't say He has love. It says He is love. It's God's nature. God is love, and God created the entire universe just so he could create this planet, just so he could create the human race, just so he could create you, you specifically. It's the only reason that you're alive. It's the only reason your heart's beating right now. It's the only reason you're taking a breath. If God didn't want to love you, you wouldn't be existing right now. God made you to love you. And here's something to celebrate. He loves you on your good days, and he loves you on your bad days. His love never changes. He loves you when you feel it. He loves you when you don't feel it. He loves you when you think you deserve it. And he loves you when you think you don't deserve it. Because his love, guess what? It's not based on your actions. It's not based on what you do. His love is based on who he is. And the Bible says God is love. His love is based on his character, not your performance. You can't make God stop loving you. You can try, but you can't do it because God's love isn't based on what you do. It's based on who he is. And you were created by God simply because he wanted to love you. The Bible makes it very, very clear that he loves you. When he sent Jesus, when God sent Jesus Christ to earth, Jesus later, as he grew to a man, stretched out his arms on the cross to die for you and for me, for our sins. And he said, I love you this much. This much. I love you so much it hurts. I love you so much that I'd rather die than live without you. I believe, friends, that we will never fully comprehend God's love for us. How much he loves us. It's kind of like an ant trying to understand the internet. We don't have the brain capacity to understand how much God loves us, how much God loves you. Not only does God love you, but it says he's with you. You may not feel it, but it has nothing to do with our feelings. He's with us all the time. The Bible says Jesus' name was to be called Emmanuel. That's one of his names, and that means God is with us. God with us. God says in the Bible, I will never leave you, and I will never abandon you. I will never forsake you. How many of you have ever been abandoned in life by someone? How many of you have ever been rejected by someone? You know, I'm sorry about that because I know it happens. But here's the thing. God will never abandon you. You may not feel it, but that just means that you're not tuned in. You're not connected. You're not plugged into the source. Did you know that God hates loneliness? He hates it. God hates loneliness. That's why when he created the first human being, he said, it is not good for man to be alone. Whether you ever get married or not is irrelevant. The issue is you need people in your life, and more than that, you need God in your life. And the reason you feel lonely is because you're not connected to God. Here's the good news. God says, I not only love you, I'm with you all the time. You just need to be aware of it. It means you don't have to face anything this year. You don't have to face anything next year in 2016 by yourself. You can, but you don't have to, because God says, I will be with you. When God is near, it removes the fear. Because God says, I will be with you. You don't have to worry. You don't have to sweat it. You don't have to be anxious about what's going to happen, because when God is near, you lose your fear. God says, I'm going to give you hope. If you're lonely this Christmas, you need to turn to Jesus Christ and sense his great love and presence in your heart. So, he's not only loving you, he's not only with you, but the Bible says God is for you. You know what that means? He's on your side. He wants you to win. Did you ever, what was the name of that game we used to play as kids where you linked hands and you said, Red Rebel, Red Rover, send someone right over? Yeah. Oh, that's the name of it? I was the littlest kid. I was a skinny kid. They always asked for me to come over. Or they always tried to break my arm to get through. Imagine if you're standing next to God and he's got you. Nobody's going to break that. That'd be like Nathan being on my team. Nobody's going to break that. When God is with you, he wants you to win. He wants you to succeed. In fact, Jesus said this, God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. Do we see a lot of condemnation in the world today? Yep. A lot of it flying around. As so many people are afraid of God. You may be afraid of God. Maybe you get nervous when people start talking about God. You know why? It's guilt. And guilt separates us from God because it doesn't come from him. You think, if I get close to God, he's going to punish me. He's going to make me sit in the corner for 10 years, or whatever punishment means. He's going to remind me of all the things I've done wrong. He's going to tell me the bad stuff. But the Bible says God did not come into this world to condemn the world, but rather to save it. Is that good news? Yeah, that's good news. I'm not only with you, I'm not only love you, I'm for you, I'm on your side. And if God is for us, who could be against us? You know, that's worth celebrating. You could throw a party for that. The way I like to think of it is like this. If God likes me and I like me, and if you don't like me, what's your problem? God likes me. It gives you a whole lot of confidence. And by the way, that's not the role of Christians either. Of followers of Christ. It's not my role to condemn the world. I don't spend a second of my life condemning society. I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to help save it. That's what God says. And so did we. That's what God says your role is. Once you become a follower of Christ. And that's why at Echo Mountain, we try to meet people where they're at in their spiritual journey and help them grow as followers of Christ. We connect with people. We point them to the truth, which is Christ. And through service, we help them grow in their personal relationship to Christ. Jesus came to save us, not to scare us. That's why the very first words of the angel were, don't be afraid. Did you know those are usually the first words God says to people in the Bible? Don't be afraid. Did you find fear nots in the Bible? That's one for every day of the year. You don't need to be afraid. Certainly not afraid of God, because he says, I love you. I'm with you. And I'm for you. That's good news. That's why we celebrate at Christmas. So that's the first purpose of Christmas, celebration. It's good news of great joy. It's for everybody. I don't care what label you may have grown up with. You could be Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, Muslim, Mormon, Hindu, Baptist, Buddhist, or nothing at all. It doesn't matter what label you grew up. It's good news of great joy for all people. God says, I love you. I'm with you, and I'm for you. Here's the second purpose of Christmas. First one is celebration. The second one is salvation. That's the second thing that the angels mentioned when they announced the birth of Jesus. It says, today in the town of Bethlehem, or the town of David, which was Bethlehem, a Savior, that's the salvation part, has been born to you. It's a personal thing. It's for you, a personal Savior. And he is Christ the Lord. Let me just make one point here. God doesn't waste energy. You know, he doesn't do stuff that isn't needed. So if you didn't need a Savior, believe me, he wouldn't have gone to all the effort and the trouble to send his only son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Does that make sense? God doesn't, he does not waste energy on things that you don't need. But the fact is, he sent a Savior to earth. And that means that we need one. We need a Savior. Whether you realize it or not, you need a Savior. How many times in your life have you said something like, "Oh God, help me get out of this"? You need a Savior. Every time you go, "God, I need your help," you need a Savior. "God, get me out of this." You know, salvation is three-dimensional. You are saved from something, you are saved for something, and then you are saved by something. I want you to understand this. You are saved from your past, from guilt, from sin, from yourself, from worry and bitterness and boredom and all these different things. We're saved from something. And then you're saved for something. And what that means is there's a purpose. There's a positive aspect. God has a purpose and a plan for our lives. And we're saved for that purpose. And then you're saved by grace, which means you don't earn it. You can't earn it. And guess what? We don't deserve it. First, we're saved from sin. And that's what Jesus' name means. Jesus means to save people from their sin. In fact, Joseph was told in a dream these words, "Give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sin." That's what Jesus means. So, have you ever, wondered, what is sin? I mean, most of us know, right? What is sin anyway? You know, everybody's got their list. I remember I used to have a list when I was in junior high and high school. My list was, don't drink, don't smoke, don't cuss or chew, and don't go with girls that do. The thing is, a telephone post does that. I thought if all I did was not do certain things, then I wasn't a sin person. The fact is, everybody has their list. You've got your list of what you think is sin, and I've got my list. I always think your list is probably worse than mine. My sins are not as bad. Isn't that kind of what we think? Well, I'm not as bad as my neighbor. I'm not as bad as this person. But really, that's not it at all. Get this. Sin is an attitude. It's not something you do. It's an attitude. What's the middle letter of sin? Anybody want to say it? Oh, it's you. It's I. The middle letter of sin is I. What's the middle letter of pride? P-R-I-D-E. It's I. Sin is an I problem. It is. It's I want to be my own boss. I don't need God. I'm doing just fine, thank you very much. God, you do your thing and I will do mine. That's called sin. Sin is saying, God, I know what will make me happy more than you do. And I know you said to do certain things, but I am just going to ignore those things because I am God and you're not. I know more than you do, God, so I am going to do what I want to do with my life, not what you put me on earth to do. That's the definition of sin. The Bible says that every one of us has had that attitude at times in our life when we've said, I am just going to do what I want to do. Forget God. I am going to do what I want to do. That attitude has caused us to be separated from God. That's why when you pray, you feel like your prayers bounce off the ceiling because they do. There's a separation between you and God when you want to do things your own way. And that's why he sent Jesus as a Savior. Every one of your problems, every one of my problems is caused by sin. That separation from God, every single one of them. Sin causes confusion in your life. It causes guilt. It causes shame. It causes regret. It causes bitterness and resentment and grudges. It causes worry. It causes fear. It causes anxiety. Sin causes depression. It causes discouragement. It causes emptiness. It causes despair. It causes conflict between you and others. Every single one of your problems is caused because you're not connected to God. You're separated by your own sin. I am going to do my own thing. As a result of that, Jesus said, I want to set you free. I want to release you. I want to save you from what? First, from the burden of guilt. Did you know that God doesn't want you to go around carrying guilt? That's why Jesus came, to pay for it all, so that you can be forgiven. He doesn't want you to go around feeling guilty all the time. Not from God. God wants to set you free from the pain of bitterness. When you hate other people, when you resent others, when you hold that in your heart, it's like cancer in your heart. It can eat you alive. He wants to set you free from the expectations of other people, where you're worried, what would other people think? He wants to set you free from the fear of death. He wants to set you free from the burden of worry and anxiety and stress. God doesn't want you wandering around with stress all the time. He says, I want to set you free. Maybe you've never realized. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never realized that you need a Savior. In fact, you've probably never even thought about it. I saw a man on the street poll that asked people, what do you need to be saved from? Here's what they said. What do you need to be saved from? One person said, from spending too much money on the holidays. Another person said, I need to be saved from my wrinkles. One said, I need to be saved from my student loans. Another said, I need to be saved from my debt, from my own inadequacies. One said, I need to be saved from school. One said, I need to be saved from bills. One said, I need to be saved from overeating. It's a big one this Christmas. One said, I need to be saved from my vices. One person said, I need to be saved from myself. I can relate to that last guy. He said, I need to be saved from myself. Have you grown up enough to figure out that you're your own biggest problem? A lot of the time, it's your reaction, your own fears, your own inadequacies that cause you to act in stupid ways. Many times, you cause the problems. You create them yourselves. I know I certainly do. You know, in many ways, I need to be saved for myself. Now, what do I mean like that? By that? There are things in my life that I don't like about me. And I'd like to change them, but I can't. Not on my own power. And you can't either. Guess what? I need a Savior. There are things I'd like to be different in my life. Man, I wish I did this differently. I wish I acted differently when I reacted there. I wish I said that differently, but I can't change it. I need an outside power source. You could say I can change it, but no, you can't. If you could, you would. But you can't, so you won't. In January, in a week or two, you're going to make one of these New Year's resolutions, some of you. By the end of January, they'll be in the dumpster. Why? Because you can't change on your own. You need God's power. You need a Savior. The truth is, if you're honest about it, sometimes you feel like your life is out of control, and that's a pretty common feeling. Welcome to the human race. The Apostle Paul felt that way 2,000 years ago. Here's what Paul says in the Bible. He says, I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. That's the answer. Let me be honest with you this morning. You may be looking for salvation in the wrong places. And that's why you're frustrated. You may be looking for one thing that's going to give you fulfillment and meaning and peace in life. You know, it's kind of like, if I could just get married, then life would be great. I'm going to turn off my mic. That's what I have to say about that. life is great being married to Diane. You know, anybody want to give a testimony about that one? If I could just get a job, if I could just get a promotion and a raise, if I could just attain a certain level of wealth, then everything would be great. If we could just have a baby, if our babies would grow up and graduate. Friends, you're looking for salvation in the wrong places. A lot of people are looking for salvation in a self-help book, or they're looking for it in therapy, or they're looking for it in a fad or a diet, or they're looking for it in some kind of vacation. If I could just go somewhere, escape to Tahiti, then everything would be great. Here's the problem. If you go to Tahiti, you're taking you with you. And the problem is in your heart and in your mind, and that's where the stress is. The fact is, the answer is not a place. It's not a program. It's not a pill. The answer to your dissatisfaction is a person. You were made by God, and you were made for God. Until you understand that, life is never going to make sense. So first, you need to be saved from your past. Get it out of your mind so you're not carrying all this garbage with you into the present and the future. Second, you need to be saved for a purpose. God says, I want to save you for a purpose. The Bible says this, He saved us and He called us to be His own people, not because of what we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. You can live a life at one of three levels, the survival level, the success level, or the highest level, the significance level. Most of the world lives at the survival level. Half of the world, 3 billion people, live on less than $2 a day. Did you know that? That's survival. If you're an American, you're at success level. The poorest of the poor in America are at the success level compared to the rest of the world. Most of the world would love to have your problems. But why, you say? If I'm so successful, why do I still not feel fulfilled? Because you were made for more than just success. That's not the ultimate goal in life. You were made for significance, and significance comes from knowing God, knowing His purpose for you, and then doing it. Then you're like, that's it. That's why I was born. That's what I was made for. This is my niche. It's kind of an aha moment when you discover that God created you for a purpose. It feels good. Now I know why I'm here on this planet. All the success in the world can't give you that. It's not about you. That's the exact opposite of what our culture says. Our entire culture says it's all about you. It's all about what you want. Do it all for you. Do it, you know, I'm supposed to do it for me. I've got to think of what's best for me. You will never find satisfaction and significance by living for yourself. Never. Because God didn't wire you that way. There will always be a hole in your heart. So you need something greater than yourself. You need God's purpose. You were made for God. You've tried everything else. Why not try God? Really, you've tried everything else. Why not try God? So Jesus said, I want to save you from your past. I want to save you for a purpose. And then He says, I want to save you by my grace. What's that mean? It means we don't earn it. And we don't deserve it. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't be good enough to get into heaven because heaven's perfect and you're not. And by the way, I'm not either. I stopped batting 1,000 a long time ago when I was born. I've got to get into heaven on somebody else's ticket, and that's Jesus Christ, who is perfect because He was God. And He says, I will give you my grace. Now, what is grace? Grace is when God gives you what you need, not what you deserve. Grace is when God says, I'm going to take your problem and make it my problem. My dad always told me growing up, he says, grace is God's riches given to you at Christ's expense. The Bible says this: it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. So no one can boast. In other words, you can't earn your way to heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. You don't have enough good works in you to do that. It's a gift from God. It's a gift that came on Christmas morning. Why do we give gifts at Christmas? Because God gave the gift of His Son to you by grace. That is why we have gifts, because God gave the greatest gift to us at Christmas. Whenever you give someone a gift, it is a reminder of God's gift of grace to you. Think about that this Christmas. When you give and receive gifts this Christmas, think about God's gift of grace and salvation for you. If you've ever been a lifeguard, anybody here been a lifeguard? I know my wife has, a few of you maybe. You know that one of the rules of lifeguarding is that you cannot save somebody as long as they're trying to save themselves. When you swim out to somebody who's drowning in the ocean and they're just flailing around in panic and trying to save themselves, any wise lifeguard knows you just stay back for a few seconds and tread water. And you wait until they give up, because if you try to save them while they're trying to save themselves, they will pull you under with them. So I've read this. I've never been a lifeguard. So you just tread water until finally they give up and they relax, they bob under once or twice, and then you grab them by the hair. I made that part up. And you put your arm under their shoulder, and you just swim back to shore. It's really quite easy. It's not rocket science. The reason they don't allow pastors to be lifeguards is when they see people with their hands raised, they go, "God bless you. I'll pray for you. Is there another one?" "Yes, I see you. I'll pray for you." Friends, God wants to save you. Jesus Christ wants to save you from your hurts. He wants to save you from your habits. He wants to save you from your hang-ups. He wants to save you for His purpose. And He wants to save you by His grace. But you've got to quit trying to do it yourself. You've got to relax. Just take a deep breath. In fact, let's try it right now. Everybody just take a deep breath and relax. You need to relax. You need to let go and let God be God. Here's a good stress reliever. God is God and you're not. Whenever you start acting like God, you're going to get under stress. When Jesus Christ came to earth, He came as a baby. But He didn't stay a baby. He grew up and became a man, and He died for our sins, and that's why we celebrate. Because God didn't send a baby, He sent a Savior. The first purpose of Christmas is celebration. I bring you good news of great joy, and it's for all people. The second purpose of this Christmas is salvation. For unto you is born this day a Savior, and He's Christ the Lord. If I were to get a Christmas gift from you this Christmas, and I never opened it, one, you'd be disappointed, you'd be hurt, and two, it would be a worthless gift because I received no benefit from it if I never opened it. Yet some of you have gone Christmas after Christmas after Christmas after Christmas and never opened the biggest gift under the tree, the gift of salvation. God's gift to you. Why even celebrate Christmas if you're not going to open the biggest gift? Just get on with it. If you haven't opened that gift, it doesn't make sense to leave the gift of your past forgiven, a purpose for living, and a home in heaven. Who would ever leave that gift unwrapped? Jesus Christ says to you, "I can replace the frustration in your heart with peace. I can replace the guilt and the resentment and the shame and the grudges. I can replace that with forgiveness. And I can replace the worry and anxiety in your heart with confidence and with faith I can replace the depression or despair with hope. I can replace that emptiness with meaning and purpose. I can replace that confusion with clarity. But I'm not going to break the door of your heart down. You've got to invite me in. The Bible says this. It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. I'm glad for that part. If you want God and you're ready to do as he says, the door again. I don't really care what your religious background is. That doesn't matter. It's not about religion. God did not send Jesus to give us religion. He sent Jesus so that you could have a personal relationship with God. It's all about relationship, friends. I want to close, and I'm going to pray a prayer right now. And it's a prayer that I prayed many years ago when I stepped across the line and became a friend of God's. It's a pretty simple prayer. And as I pray in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. And if these words express your desire in your heart, I want you to just say in your mind, me too, God. Me too, I'm in. I'm stepping across the line. Men, are you man enough to have courage to do that? Women, are you a woman with enough sense to do that? If you haven't done that this morning, I encourage you to do it. There's no better time than the present. Would you bow your heads with me? This is a prayer I prayed many years ago. Dear God, I'm scared, but I want to get to know you. I don't understand it all, but I thank you that you do love me. I thank you that you're with me, even when I didn't recognize it. I thank you that you're for me. That you didn't send Jesus to condemn me, but to save me. I admit, I never even realized I needed a Savior, but today I want to receive your Christmas gift of your Son. I ask you to save me from my past, from my regrets, from my mistakes, from my sins, from my habits and my hurts and my hang-ups that mess up my life. I ask you, Lord, to save me from myself. I ask you to save me for your purpose. I want to know why you put me on this planet. And I want to be what you want me to be. I want to fulfill what you've made me to do. I want to learn to love you and to trust you and to have a relationship with you. I need peace with you, God. And I need you to put the peace of God in my heart, to take away that stress and to fill me with yourself and your love. Lord, help me to be a peacemaker, to help others find this peace with you and with each other. Lord, thank you for the greatest gift of all, for your Son, Jesus Christ, coming to earth. Help me to celebrate it and to accept the salvation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.